This is your friend John Walden. We're glad you joined us for our Bible study. We have been going through the book of Jude, and we have come now to the last two verses. The wonderful ending for this book, which is filled with disturbing things, warnings, woes pronounced upon those who have turned away from God, indictments against sinners for their murmuring and complaining and living after their own lusts, warnings to the Lord's people that they be kept from these things. And now at the last, our attention is focused on the Lord Jesus himself. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Attention focused on the Lord Jesus. This is the way you became a Christian. First of all, the Spirit of God showed you that you were lost. And this was uncomfortable, wasn't it? We didn't enjoy having the searchlight of God's holiness focused on ourselves. We didn't enjoy hearing from the Word of God that we were sinners and lost. But how glad we were when we knew our need and the Spirit of God showed us Christ. Just as in the wilderness, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and called upon the people to look to that serpent of brass, and as many as looked, lived, so you and I were saved by a look at the crucified one. We looked by faith to the Lord Jesus, and so we received him as Savior. Now the way to go on well with the Lord is to keep our eyes on him. All other sights will disturb us, distress us, distract us. Someone has said, a look around us will distract us. A look within us will disgust us. A look at the church will distress us. But a look above, a look at the Lord Jesus will delight us. Get your eyes on the Savior. Unto him. God wants all praise and honor to be unto him. Don't give it to men. If you hear someone preach the word and they do well, thank them for the word that they delivered to you. But don't say, oh, he's a wonderful man. For no man is wonderful. Wonderful is the name for our blessed Lord in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. He, our blessed Lord, we're told, is able. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. We've already been told about his loving willingness. We were told in verse 21 that we're to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Oh yes, God loves us. He is willing to do the best for us. Well, he's able also. My father was able to do certain things for us, but he was willing to do a great deal more than he was able. And so it is here on this earth, but we have one who is not only willing to do for us, he is able to do it. What is he able to do? Three things. First of all, to keep you from falling. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, was the word of the good shepherd in the 10th chapter of John. And don't tell me that you can pluck yourself out. You too are a man. Oh yes, our Lord Jesus is able to keep us from falling. That's the only way I ever would have been kept for even 15 minutes of my life. Remember the little boy who was about to cross the slick street with his father, and his father said, let me take your hand. He said, no, I'll make it alone. And he slipped and fell. Then he said, let me hold on to your finger. And he slipped and lost his grip and fell again. And then he said, Daddy, you better take my hand. And this is what you and I as Christians need to remember. Just put your hand into his hand. He's able to keep you from falling. You have certain temptations and problems that I don't have. I have some that you don't have. But he's enough for all of them and any of them. And then he is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. I've never been faultless. I've tried to keep my life blameless. But I'm not faultless, and neither are you. I would hardly recognize you, or even myself, if we were faultless. But this is the way God is going to present us. When he gets through with us, you see, at Calvary, our Savior bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and we are told that we are cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. Then, at the judgment seat of Christ, anything that isn't right will be ironed out. And he says in the book of Ephesians that he's going to present us to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We're going to be presented faultless. When the Lord gets through with us, we'll be just like himself. We shall see him as he is. That's when we'll be like him. And then the third thing is, he's going to present us before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I've enjoyed knowing the Lord. I've enjoyed his word. I enjoy telling it out to others. But I've never known this exceeding joy. It's ahead of us. We should have had the woes of a lost eternity. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is where sinners are going to spend eternity who die without Christ. This should have been my lot. But I have the exceeding joy ahead. Our Lord Jesus, we read, wept. Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in our Bible, you know. The 11th chapter of John. The second shortest verse in our Bible is found in 1 Thessalonians 5. And it says, rejoice evermore. Jesus wept so you could rejoice evermore. And then we're told that he is the only wise God. Now, not only is he willing to do the best for us because he loves us so, not only is he able to do the best for us because he is the Almighty, but he knows what is the best for us. He is wise. Colossians 2 and verse 3 says that in the Lord Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Don't look anyplace else for it. Don't turn to anyone else for true wisdom. The knowledge of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you know him? Have you received him as your Savior? Are you learning a little about him each day? You certainly are not depending on your own wisdom, are you? The book of James says, if any man lack wisdom... Well, of course, any man lacks it. We all lack it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Expect from God a share in the treasures of his great wisdom. He is the only wise God. We're told he knows the end from the beginning. He is our Savior. Isn't that wonderful? The only wise God, our Savior. We enjoy him together. We read together in the fourth verse that these people, these ungodly people who turn away from the Lord and his word, are turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and they are denying our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the third time in the book of Jude that the Lord has been called ours. And I'm glad I can say he is mine. I'm glad to share him with you, brother and sister. He is our Savior. Now unto the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Who else is worthy of glory, majesty, dominion, and power? Certainly not any human being. Certainly not myself. I can take no glory to myself for anything that God has done. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the same word, glory. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, Galatians 6 tells us. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says that no flesh should glory in his presence. The Lord Jesus deserves all glory and majesty. Oh, yes. He is king. He came king of the Jews, was rejected and crucified as king of the Jews, and he's coming back to reign as king of the Jews. Our Lord Jesus is a king. He shall be honored yet as king of kings and lord of lords. All dominion is due unto him. Make sure that you give him dominion over your life. Give him his place as lord in your life. Eventually, he will have it over the whole universe. And power... All power is given unto me, said the Savior, in heaven and in earth. There's power enough for you, too. You can draw on this everlasting and inexhaustible source of power. When you plug in an electrical appliance, you're drawing on the power of the great powerhouses behind it. And in prayer, you and I draw upon this one who has all power and to whom all power should be given and will be given, both now and ever. Let me give you the revised reading of this. From before the whole age, now and ever. Of course, what he's been saying has to do with the age past. So really, all of this is his from before the whole age, before our Savior came into this world, he had this place of honor. It is going to be his in the coming day. It's up to you and me as believers to see that he has all of this honor now, for the world is not honoring him. Unsaved men do not honor him, they dishonor him. Let us be careful as believers that we do honor him, that all majesty, dominion, power be unto him, now and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we desire that thou shalt be glorified, not only by our lips, but by our lives. We thank thee for loving us and dying for us. We thank thee, our Father, for thy Son. We pray thee to save souls for his glory, and bless thy dear children. We ask it in the name above every name.